Well, good morning, church. Today we will continue following the growth of the early church in the book of Acts. This week we're up to the first seven verses of chapter 6. So far it seems nothing could stop the growth of the early church. We'll look back over the early church's achievements so far. Last week we heard how the believers shared the gospel and thousands of people believed. They experienced persecution from the religious leaders. Despite this, they continued to share the gospel. God disciplined the church for sin, and yet they continued to grow in numbers. Nothing can stop the gospel of Jesus, back then and today. However, with any growth comes challenges, and in today's passage we see the church going through some growing pains. How will they face these challenges, and will the church's growth itself become an obstacle to further growth? Those are the questions we face in today's passage. If you'd like to read with me, we're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading from the ESV. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for this time this morning to look at your early church, and we just ask that you'll open our hearts and mind to what you have to say. Think of a time where you've experienced growing pains. Might be a growing family, a growing business, could be a little growing church. New growth always brings challenges, and we all go through some sort of growing pains along the way. The early church was much the same. So far we've seen the church growing steadily throughout the book of Acts despite opposition. The apostles have had some skirmishes with the Jewish leaders. We heard about that last week from Michael. The Sadducees and the high priest persecuted the church, first when they healed the crippled man, and then again when they refused to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. The religious leaders had them all locked up, then God let them out. God used this persecution to display a miracle. Gamaliel, a respected rabbi and high up leader of the Sanhedrin, advised the others, "Let them be. If this is not from God, the movement will falter." Remember that Gamaliel was Paul's teacher before Paul's conversion, so his quick defence of the church is clearly a blessing from God. And after this, the apostles were flogged, but then released. And then what became of this movement? It must have been of God, because the movement certainly didn't falter, because we're all here. Despite opposition, the church on the move just kept on moving. But here in Acts 6, the church was facing something that might have caused it to falter. But this time, not persecution from the outside, but pressure, not pressure from religious authorities, but rather inner tensions. The church was experiencing growing pains, something that comes naturally with growth. Here today's message, in a nutshell, is growth brings challenges, but God gives solutions. When we follow God's solutions, we can grow to grow for God's glory, all by his sovereign power. We'll look at verse 1 together. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenist Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The number of disciples was increasing, which is a good problem to have. There are good problems and bad problems. Numerical growth is one of the good problems to have as a church, but it can still be a problem. Growth is nice, but brings challenges. It becomes easier for things to slip through the cracks. Logistically, nothing can remain easy sailing, perfect, well organised forever. In this case, it came down to the distribution of food among the widows in the church. So there were two camps of believers in the early church in Jerusalem. You had Greek Jews, which were the Hellenists, and the Hebraic Jews. And although they were all united by faith in Christ, there were still some cultural differences. And so the Grecian Jews were not as well integrated into the body as the Hebraic Jews. As a result of this, when it came to the distribution of food, some of the Greek widows were being overlooked. They weren't getting their fair share of funds and food, care in general, which caused them to grumble against the Hebraic Jews. And all of a sudden, you've got growing pains in the church. Things don't change much, do they? It seems we don't always take the direct approach. People naturally grumble, murmur, and complain, which undercuts the church's ministry and divides the church's fellowship. Now, here's the thing. The Greek Jews, the Hellenists, had a legitimate complaint here, but they were going about it the wrong way. Grumbling and complaining is never the right way to approach a problem. If an issue arises here in our church, talk to the elders about it. It's best for them to hear your feedback, but it must be heard directly, not through an undercurrent of grumbling or complaining going in the church body. Once again, this was a legitimate problem because in the church we're supposed to be watching out for everyone. No one left behind is a great slogan you probably heard in the military, but it's also a great slogan for the church. But in this case, the Greek Jews' widows were being left behind. The church was growing, which is a good thing. Things were beginning to slip. It's a legitimate problem. People were being overlooked. This caused grumbling and complaining, which threatened the very unity and fellowship of the church. Numerical growth, it's a good thing to have, but can still be a problem. New growth, new challenges, the early church was experiencing its first set of growing pains. But fortunately, God has given a solution. It is God who gives the growth to begin with, and it is God who gives the solution for the challenges created by said growth. We need not fear problems when they arise. When issues come up, God has his church protected. His followers have faced countless hardships, persecutions, wars, attacks from all types of unbelief, yet he's always had our back. Our first thought when something comes up in the church should not be looking for a way out or a way to quit. It should not be looking to spite those who transgress us or sow the seeds of grumbling and disunity. We've been given a framework here in Acts chapter 6. So we'll see what God's solution was for this particular problem and what it has to do with deacons. We see two layers of leadership, verses 2 to 4. Have you ever wondered where the deacons came from? It's not really a term we throw around much in our smaller congregation, but it is a role appointed by God. God's solution involved adding a second layer of leadership to the church. We'll look at verses 2 to 4. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." First, the apostles gathered everyone together and acknowledged the problem. That's the first step. They understood correctly that it would not be right for them to neglect the ministry of the word. So what was God's solution? There would be 2 offices in the church, both performing very vital ministries: the office of pastor or elder and the office of deacon. These appointments are described more fully in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which outlines the expectations of these people who bear responsibility. The apostles at that time were fulfilling the office of pastor or elder. This office focused on the word of God and of prayer. Therefore, it would not be right, the word in the original language meaning fitting or proper, for them to neglect the ministry of the word of God. The apostles were charged with the teaching of the people God's word, and they could not neglect this charge in order to wait on tables. So what should they do? God's solution would be the new office of deacons who would come alongside the pastors in order to assist with other aspects of the ministry, in this case, the physical distribution of food. The word translated distribution here in Acts 6 is the Greek word diakonia. It's the word in which we get our English word deacon. It literally means ministry or service. Some people may feel one way or another about the idea of deacons, especially with the conversation around different denominations, but we can still apply this to our church and our denomination. The word is linked to the word that is translated wait on tables. It's the word that is translated to ministry, verse 4, when the apostles speak about giving their attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. In other words, the daily distribution of food and the waiting of tables were not looked upon as a lesser ministry, but simply as a different ministry. Both roles are important. Both are vital ministries in the church. The pastors and deacons, or servers, work together to minister to the spiritual and physical needs of the church. The people were instructed to choose 7 men to assist the apostles in the ministry. There was Old Testament precedent for this solution, people coming alongside to assist. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites increased in numbers, they had growing pains. They were too heavy of a burden for Moses to carry alone. In Deuteronomy 1, verses 9 to 18, Moses had them choose wise, understanding and respected men from each of their tribes to come alongside him and assist with the various disputes among the people. In many ways, this became a model for what God had the apostles do in the book of Acts. God's solution to all this was brilliant. The church didn't need to choose between ministry of tables or the ministry of the word. You could do both. The apostles would focus on their specific ministry of prayer and the word of God, and the servers, the deacons, would focus on their ministry of the daily distribution of food. Some people might have thought that this limits the deacons' ministry to only physical needs, but it is better to view this as a specific response to a specific need. Just think of our congregation. Look around our building, the people gathered here. Look at the big things, the maintenance of the grounds, the building we gather in, the finances we send to those who we support overseas and locally, the budgeting of our church finances and resources. Look at the smaller things like the quick chat we have one-on-one each Sunday to check in and gather prayers and requests to bring to our Heavenly Father. Think of the organisation of Bible studies through the week and the logistics involved. Look at the communion emblems prepared, even the very chair you're sitting on. Are these jobs just waiting on tables? Certainly not. They are ministry and they are crucial. Whenever needs must be addressed that might distract from praying and teaching of the ministry of the elders, serving ministry is both needed and appropriate. So who would these deacons be and how would they be chosen? God prescribed a careful process for the choosing or selecting of these new deacons. We'll have a look at verses 5 and 6. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Stephen and Philip are listed first. They are most well known of the 7. Nicholas is listed last. He was a proselyte, which means he was not born a Jew, but rather converted to Judaism later on. He was not from Jerusalem, but from Antioch. It's interesting, all 7 men have Greek names rather than Jewish. It doesn't mean that they're all Grecian Jews, but it's very likely that some were. Nicholas certainly was. If you think about it, why would they want to make sure that some Grecian Jews were included among the 7? Because it was the Grecian widows who were being overlooked. And so there was great wisdom in these choices. So how did they go about choosing these men? First, they were qualified leaders. Full of faith, mature believers. Full of the Spirit, they were walking with the Lord. Full of wisdom, they were wise and discerning. First, they were to be qualified leaders. The Bible gives them more specific qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But here are the 3 main qualifications we're given. His deacons were to be full of faith, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. In other words, they should be mature believers who are walking with the Lord and are known to be wise and discerning. This is so important. These new deacons were not just functioning as teenage waiters in a restaurant. They were to be mature believers who would stand alongside the apostles as leaders and ministers in the church. Choosing the seven was a prayerful process, chosen by the people, presented to the apostles, and appointed with prayer. There was also to be a prayerful process in selecting these leaders. They were to be chosen by the people, then presented to the apostles, and appointed with prayer and the laying of hands. The laying on of hands was an act of identification. It represented a sharing or passing on of the leadership of authority. The church followed these guidelines and chose seven men to serve the church as deacons alongside the apostles. These are an excellent guideline for the church that we should follow today. Growth brings challenges, but God gives solutions. So what was the result of following God's solutions of these challenges? The church continued to grow. Verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The word of God spread, once again emphasising the power of God's word in the ministry of the church. This is the reason why the deacons were instituted to begin with, so the apostles could give their full attention to the ministry of the word of God and to prayer. The church cannot grow without God's word. Jesus said the word is like the seed that the sower sows. No seed, no garden, no word, no growth. The word spread, the number of disciples increased. The word of God grows the church both spiritually and numerically. It is through the ministry of the word that we grow spiritually in our knowledge and love of God, in personal holiness and in our love and care for other people. It is also through the ministry of the word that other people hear the gospel and come to Christ for salvation. A church on the move always seeks to be growing, not just numerically, but spiritually. The ministry of the word also yields some unlikely converts. In this case, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The opposition had joined the team. Perhaps the testimony of the food distribution had an impact on them. The priests had a similar system in place for the poor Jews living in Jerusalem. Perhaps seeing the love of these early Christians in action by taking care of the poor softened their hearts towards the gospel. When you share the gospel within your personal network of neighbours, friends and co-workers, don't be surprised when the most unlikely of converts joins the team. Never write anyone off when it comes to the gospel. God can draw anyone he wants, and he loves to draw the most unlikely people to Christ. Just look at our fan favourite, friend of the show, Apostle Paul, who went from persecutor of Christians to persecuted for Christ. So what applications can we draw from today's passage? Well, there are several. First, the pastor's ministry in the church should focus on the ministry of the word and prayer. Some people think of the job description in terms of three P's, preaching, people, and prayer. Prayer includes both praying for people and with people. And so the pastor needs to be available to the people for both counsel and prayer. Deacons are called to serve alongside pastors to help with other ministry needs as the situation demands. Both types of ministry are equally necessary. Neither should be neglected. The church should choose carefully qualified people as deacons. They are God's second layer of leadership for the church. The church must adapt its leadership to meeting changing needs. Deacons may need to vary their roles depending on the current needs of the church. Church leadership should be bathed in prayer. Church leaders should be chosen in prayer, and they should be prayed over at appointment. They should be prayed for during the term of their service. What's the result of all this? A healthy, growing church where God's word is taught, lived out, honoured and spread. God doesn't grow his church just so it can flounder or fail. So when God gives the growth, we can expect God will give us solutions for the challenges that come with the growth. We need to follow God's leading and his word to face these challenges and continue growing our church for the spread of the gospel, so that many may hear of and accept Jesus Christ, the man nailed to the tree in their place, for the forgiveness of their sin, all for the honour and glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage this morning. We thank you for the lessons that we learned from the early days of your church. Father, we ask that you help us use this as a guideline in how we structure our church body to further the gospel and to support those in need who may slip through the cracks. Lord, would you help us keep these standards in mind as we wait and search for a pastor to lead our church. Lord, we thank you above all for Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice for us that we may call you Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.